Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life, called his wife in. Hey, 404! How we doing on this Thursday morning? Bum, 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 bum. Let's go! We got 1 hour left until we take it to the warm-up show at 5 a.m.
Good morning, good morning.
Sergeant Pepper always makes me think of the summer, and here we are, in the dog days of the summer. Yankees and Mets. Playing lousy teams needing to win. The Yankees got a split and a doubleheader yesterday. Luis Gil had a very important performance to me, a pitching performance that you need to see young kids like him go through, where he didn't have his good stuff. He couldn't locate his breaking stuff. You know, that slider that's been so important for him since he went through that real tough stretch and Severino taught him the different grip on the slider. That pitch that has been so important to him eluded him, didn't have it, and he was still able to get through five innings, throwing mainly fastballs, figuring out how to get through, runners on base, walking guys, didn't have good command, all of it, didn't have his great stuff, and yet, five innings, zero runs, they get the victory. couple of big hits from Verdugo. Judge is an absolute animal. I mean, it's just unbelievable how good he is. Now, he's been on a singles tear lately, but still, I mean, he's just so good. Obviously, Wells has really established himself as someone in the middle of this lineup, as, you know, I guess Trevino is coming back somewhat soon. It doesn't matter. Wells is the catcher. Wells is the cleanup hitter. He's been incredible. Volpe stays hot. They score some runs early on, and then the second game gets away from them when they start Will Warren, young prospect, trying to make a name for himself. Second spot start just as bad as the first, if not worse. Gives up the grand slam, six runs in the second. Yankees don't really stand a chance. And that's the day as they get ready to face the Angels tonight. Nestor Cortez on the mound for a very important game. And the Mets get one of those wins that's a nice little win, but it avoided a disastrous loss. As Feltner, the starting pitcher for the Rockies, gets taken out in the first inning with shoulder soreness. And this Met offense that has been struggling since the All-Star break, particularly with runners in scoring position, was shut down the night before by this lousy Rockies bullpen, proceeds to do nothing for seven innings in this game against a lousy Jason Shreve is making his first major league appearance of the season for the Rockies last night. I mean, their bullpen is atrocious, and the Mets do nothing. And they are tied 2-2 heading into the ninth, and you are waiting for a disastrous loss, losing the first two, following up a terrible series loss to the Angels, and really having everybody's concern heading into this damn stretch that it was going to spiral out of control, starting to come to fruition, and instead, who steps up? Who steps up? The young catcher, the young face of this franchise, this upcoming face of the franchise, who's been struggling offensively, but has still been a huge part of this team. You can quantify a bunch of different lines of demarcation where this season took off for the New York Mets. The throwing of the glove, the meeting, Lindor moving to the leadoff spot, and you can also say Alvarez coming back from injury has been those things that have sparked this team. And even in the struggles, he's been important for this team defensively. He helps the pitching staff. They pitch better to a better ERA when he's behind the plate. And he comes through with that leadoff triple and immediately you feel like, okay, they're going to figure out a way to win this game. Couple walks, bases loaded, and Lindor shoots it the other way. Winker with a three-hit game, I believe, in this one, comes through with the extra add-on run. Mets find a way to win 6-3. Buto with another two-inning performance has been masterful with a .8 ERA. For the Mets since moving to the bullpen has been absolutely terrific for them. And they come away with an important win to try and keep up with the Joneses. Yes, the Braves lose to Milwaukee again. And now they are a half a game out of that third wild card. But the Diamondbacks and Padres just don't lose. So you're trying to keep up with the Joneses here playing lousy teams. That's a game you could not lose last night. That's a game that would have really come back to haunt you. That's a game that would have made you sick to your stomach watching this miserable bullpen shut you down. And instead, Obviously, Blackburn, who I forgot to mention, did a great job in his second start with the Mets. And so it was the two leaders of the team, arguably, in Lindor and Alvarez, and the two new additions at the trade deadline, Blackburn and Winker, who come through, help you out. Budo, another guy, obviously imperative into this game. And you find a way to win against the lousy team. Give yourself a chance later today with Peterson on the mound to give yourself a chance to win this series and just clock it off this road trip, clock it off this month that is so important to this Met team moving forward. So that's where we are with the baseball story. The New York Giants do play a preseason game tonight against the Lions. Hopefully they can, you know, keep the fisticuffs at bay as they were each fined $200,000 for all the nonsense that went on with the mutual practices. Will we see Daniel Jones? I don't know. Will we see Neighbors? I think we will. Will we see the rest of this offense for a little bit? I don't know. But we will see football. It'll be nice to have football back. You know, preseason. We get all excited for it. I'm sure me and Lugie are going to talk about it today in afternoon. We're going to get all excited about it. We're going to turn it on. We're going to watch 5 minutes, and then I'm going to figure out what else I want to watch. But that doesn't change the fact. Football is back. Baseball, we're right in the middle of it. Yankees and Mets with two important games against lousy teams where you want to make sure you win a series coming up later today, hopefully at least for the Yankees if the rain holds off. And that's where we are on this Thursday morning. Back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe in L.A. What's up, Joe?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Joe.
All right, before I tell you who I am, I just want to mention before I tell you why I called about Aaron Judge.
Okay.
If you could please... I really value your opinion. Afterwards, if possible, I want you to tell me if you think Patrick Mahomes is on the Rushmore, and if not, who is. Now, to tell you about Aaron Judge, okay. You remember last year somebody called you and you got into it with him about Ohtani being the GOAT?
Yes, I believe so. I do remember that. Yes, Ohtani, the best player in baseball, yes.
And somebody called in, like, exploding with you that how could you say that about somebody so quickly, and then callers also came in. I was that person.
You were that person?
I had a good time with you. Yeah.
It was you? I've been waiting for you to call me back. No, I'm just kidding. Great.
Well, let me tell you why I called you back now.
Yes.
Because you recently just got me back. You got me going again. You told me, you said Aaron Judge is maybe the greatest hitter of all time.
No.
You said maybe after Bond.
Yes.
And here we go again with a guy. You got to look at a whole career. He hasn't done it long enough. He's not a postseason hitter. I can give you 6-7 hitters without even thinking right now.
Yeah. What I would tell you is I believe that, first of all, what I said was, is everybody is saying it's the best player we've ever seen. And that's pretty much where I left it. I don't think I said of all time. I think I said the best player I've ever seen. And everybody was saying that. And I said, I've seen Barry Bonds. You have to put Barry Bonds above Judge. In that 2001 to 2004 era, those 3 or 4 years, that's the best hitter I've ever seen, more than even Aaron Judge. I don't remember saying Judge is the greatest hitter of all time, but I will tell you that I believe right now, currently, to be the most difficult time ever to hit in Major League Baseball. I think it is harder right now to hit than when Mickey Mantle hit, when Babe Ruth hit, when whoever you want to give me hit. I will tell you that right now, when you have everybody coming in throwing 99 miles an hour, you very rarely see the same pitcher more than twice in a game. Everyone's specialized just to get you out. They bring in lefties to face lefties. They have bullpen arms that are as good as starting arms. Like, it's just, it is, you look at batting averages throughout the league, it is very difficult to be a good hitter in Major League Baseball, and he is dominating on such a level.
You're putting him together on the same breath with Ken Griffey Jr.? Come on.
Yes. Yeah, why not?
No, come on, Chris, please.
How many times did Ken Griffey Jr. hit 60 home runs?
Ken Griffey, it doesn't matter. He's done it for what, 1-2 years? It doesn't matter. Look at McGuire.
He's done it for way more than that. He's done it since 2017. Don't say Sosa. Don't even put Sosa in this conversation. Did you say Sosa?
Big Poppy.
Yeah, he's better than Big Poppy.
Albert Pujols, yeah, Manny Ramirez.
He's right there. Mark McGuire. Would you stop? He's way better than Mark McGuire.
For a long time.
He's not. Mark McGuire's not in the class of Aaron Judge. Stop it now. He hit home runs.
Go down greater than these guys.
No.
But my thing is, you're saying it right now.
Yes.
That got me stirred up, like you said, about Ohtani.
Ohtani's the best player. Ohtani's the best player who ever played the game. That's the truth.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
It is
true.
No way.
No one's ever done what he's done. If I had to take a player, if I, again, take every single player who's ever played baseball, and I needed a game, and I was picking a team to pick a game for my life and my family's life to depend on it, my first pick is Ohtani. He pitches and
hits. And if Ohtani wasn't pitching that game, you would take Barry Bonds over him, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. But Ohtani, okay, so first season, the guy pitches and hits. I got my starting pitcher and my cleanup hitter. Like, what are we talking about? He's doing something no one else does. That's why I'm not saying his career is the best or whatever. When just the game of baseball, since they picked up a ball, threw it at someone, and decided to hit it with a wooden stick, no one's ever done it better than Ohtani did the last couple of years when he pitches and hits. And, he's an MVP. He's going to win the MVP. He's going to win the MVP this year in the National League just DHing. And he's also an ace starter.
Chris, Aaron Judge is not in the same arena as Ken Griffey Jr. Sorry.
You're wrong. Okay? You're absolutely dead wrong.
Ken Griffey Jr. on both sides of the plate. I'm telling you, it's not a comparison. See what the call
is. Both sides of the plate? He wasn't a switch hitter.
Both
sides of the field.
Often.
Yeah, Judge is a very good outfielder. He's not as good as Ken Griffey.
Doesn't come to the feet of Ken Griffey. I'm sorry.
No, he's a better outfielder. Totally agree. Ken Griffey's a far better outfielder. Judge is damn good, but Ken Griffey's a better outfielder. But, I mean, look, you want to look at his numbers? Ken Griffey Jr. Is a great player. And I'm not saying, it's not even close, Judge. I'm saying I remember watching Ken Griffey. I didn't watch him as closely as I watch every game of Aaron Judge. But he's right now. And I'm not the only one saying it. He's better than anyone I've ever seen, including he's better than, at any one given time. You're right, a career, which, by the way, his career dipped off after going to Cincinnati. Aaron Judge, and he started at, 18, 19, 20 years old, as young as he was. Judge didn't start till 26. So the numbers might ultimately not culminate in the same level as he might not have as many home runs or as many of this because he's probably going to play less years than Ken Griffey Jr. did. But right now, Aaron Judge, the hitter, is a more dangerous hitter than Ken Griffey Jr. was. That's how I feel. Aaron Judge is a better all-around hitter than even Ken Griffey and even a better slugger, which is crazy because he was a home run guy. But that's how good Judge is. He just is. And you said Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, which should almost eliminate you from this conversation. Please. Those were great sluggers. They weren't Mark McGwire wasn't anywhere near the hitter that Judge is. Not anywhere near the hitter. Emmanuel in Asbury Park. What's up, Emmanuel?
What's up, Chris? I listen to you every day, bro.
Oh, well, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that.
I agree with you about the Derek Jeter comments, by the way, and people don't give him enough flack for that, especially in the interview where they were presenting A-Rod, and you could see his, angry face.
Yeah.
You can tell from the beginning that there was flack, and people don't give Derek Jeter enough.
There's no doubt about it. Derek Jeter's biggest, the biggest flaw in Derek Jeter's career, in my opinion, the biggest issue I have with Derek Jeter is that he didn't try and put his issues behind him and recognize as captain of the team what was best for the New York Yankees. What was best for the
Why
New York Yankees?
Why don't people call him out for that, though?
I think some people do. I'm not alone in this. I think because most people don't like Alex Rodriguez, he was a phony who was a cheater, and no one's really looking to make Derek Jeter look bad compared to Alex Rodriguez when Derek Jeter is Mr. October and won five World Championships with the New York Yankees and was Mr. Clutch and Mr. Beloved and captain. So no one's looking, going out of their way to find the good time, the good time I'm reading, the good example of where Alex Rodriguez was treated poorly by Derek Jeter. No one cares. So I understand.
You can tell that's why A-Rod was uncomfortable there, too, a lot of times.
Alex Rodriguez was uncomfortable not necessarily just because of Derek Jeter, but his relationship with Jeter was part of the reason he was uncomfortable. I think Alex Rodriguez was just one of those people who was a people pleaser, and it came off a little bit phony. And it was one thing when he was up-and-coming young kid in Seattle. Then it was another when he went to Texas, and he was the guy. It was another when he had to come to the Yankees and be part of the Yankee universe and the winning culture and Derek Jeter and Joe Torre and everything else, and he desperately wanted to fit in, and he wasn't good at it. So I'm not blaming Derek Jeter specifically for having Derek Jeter wasn't the reason, in my mind, that Alex Rodriguez had a tough time fitting in. But as the captain of the team, recognizing this guy's not going anywhere, this guy is one of the best players in baseball, and if he plays his best, it's going to help us win. And instead of recognizing that and saying, I'm going to put some dopey article behind me, I'm going to put some nonsense behind me, I don't have to be his best friend, we'll never be that close again, but I have to figure out a way to make it so that this guy's more comfortable in here. And he didn't do anything like that. He didn't try and do that. And he should have, as captain of the team. Now, some people will say it's not his responsibility. And thank you for the call. Some people will say, why does Jeter have to do that? And I get it, but that's what captains do. Right now, right? I just saw an article, or I just saw Jeff Passan say that many teams were concerned about Jazz Chisholm's character or how he, you know, the way he handles himself or whatever. And the Yankees were less so because they believe Judge to be the best leader in the game and that Judge will make sure things get done. And Judge, I mean, he doesn't make sure Gleyber Torres hustles necessarily, but he's going to make sure that those issues are the same thing with Verdugo, right? Issues in Boston, Alex Cora can't stand him, showing up late to meetings, blah, blah, blah. No issue. We could bring him in here because Judge leads us, and Judge will make sure that crap doesn't happen. That's part of being a captain, and I'm not saying that he's a better captain than Jeter is. I have no idea. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's part of the job. When you accept being the captain of the team, as Brunson has just now at the Knicks, and that's going to be his job too. It was up to Jeter to just say, hey, I know I don't like him because of this, that, and the other, but I got to put this behind me. I can't make it seem like we're at odds. I have to make it more comfortable for everybody. It's important to make sure this guy plays well and is at his best. And I got to do that for the team, and I have to eat this one and just swallow my pride and not be pissed off at this dude. And he never did. He was unable to do that. And by no means am I saying that's a major, scarlet letter for him or anything. I'm not saying Jeter is anything other than fantastic, great, the captain, love him, everything about. But I'm just saying, if I'm looking for something, that's it. If someone said to me, what's the most disappointing thing about Jeter's career? Nothing on the field. It's that. He could have done more to help Alex Rodriguez feel comfortable inside the locker room. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How you doing today?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, the doubleheader wasn't bad. I have to say,
it wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was lukewarm. It was. I mean, it was. You want to take both of them, to be honest with you, but you knew you were throwing a kid in the second game. Doubleheaders are kind of tough to sweep. You knew they weren't going to have their best lineup for both games. You weren't going to have your best relievers for both games. So you take it now. But now that what yesterday makes is today very important. Now Nestor Cortez has to go out there and be home Nestor and give them a good performance and figure out a way to take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. You can't lose this game. Can't lose this series.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, last time against the Angels, it was 5 and 3rd, 2-1, 4 strikeouts. I'll take that.
Yeah, no, Luis Gil, you're kind of breaking up, Dan. Did you say Luis Gil with his start?
No, I'm talking about Nestor Cortez last time against the Angels.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, Danny. You really got a lot of feedback when you talk. I apologize. Call back tomorrow and talk to whoever's here, because it ain't going to be me. Call the afternoon show. It's Pat and Gallo. Anthony Gallo will be filling in for me tomorrow. Listen, you just need a comp. You don't need Nestor to be a world beater. The offense has kind of turned it around. I feel pretty good about the offense scoring at least 4 or 5 runs tomorrow. You never know. They only scored 2 last night, but the game got out of hand. It's rainy and a doubleheader. I'm gonna forgive them, the offense, on that one. But just be representative. Don't get blown out. Go a little deep into the game. I'll take 5-6 innings, 2-3 runs. That's it. Against this offense, you should be able to do that, Nestor. Especially at home. He's been really good at home. That's the kind of performance they need from Nestor tomorrow. Because I'm telling you right now, we've talked about Severino possibly transitioning to the bullpen. Luis Gil has been a constant conversation about transitioning to the bullpen. They have Tim Hill in the bullpen as a left-handed pitcher. That's it. Tim Hill. That's it. They don't have another lefty. So Nestor's literally pitching for his spot in the rotation as Clark Schmidt comes back. Because so is Stroman, who needed a couple days to work on a bullpen and try and get his mechanics back. Because they don't have a lefty in the bullpen. Yeah, I mean, they have some guys. They have Weaver. They feel pretty confident can get out lefties. His splits are okay. And then clearly, Canely, with his changeup, is a reverse splits guy and gets out lefties better than righties. So they have a couple of righty pitchers who get out lefties, but they don't have a lefty to come in and bring in other than Hill. So to me, that's, you want to talk about pitchers possibly transitioning to the bullpen? For me, numero uno is Nestor Cortez if this nonsense keeps up. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break, come back, continue to take your phone calls as we take it the rest of the way till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show right here on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
This song. I'm sick of this song. Yeah, I made a fool of myself a couple of times with this one. I think I've told this story on air, but I'll tell it again real quick. So, the first time Craig made me sing, well, that's not true. He made me sing on air a couple. His son actually was the first one who made me sing. Anthony came on one day and was like, "Oh, yeah, when we come back from break, you got to sing." Oh, I forget the name of the artist, but yeah, he gave me a specific guy he wanted me to sing. I had to sing, but it was the pig slap game of the Giants and Raiders at Live at Reds. We did a thing there. It was going to be a pig spanking and all that, and he had the live band coming, and he's like, you're going to sing on stage, right? You're going to sing on stage. I'm like, okay, I guess. He's like, yeah, pick a Beatles song. Go over it with the band. You'll pick a song. I'm like, okay. So I say we're going to figure out a Beatles song, fine. We get to the day of, and I'm talking to the band, and the guy goes, hey, I know you said you want to do a Beatles song, but Craig wants to play the drums. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and, you know, Craig says he could play a Beatles song on the drums, but I don't know. And he's like, and to be totally honest with you, you know, if you struggle or whatever, I can hop on the mic and help you with it. Like, but if the drums aren't good, we're going to have a mishmash of a song. So I know Craig knows how to play Hard to Handle by the Black Crowes. You mind singing that one? And I'm just like, yeah, I guess. I know the hey little thing, let me light your candle, cause mama, I'm sure. That's the only part I know. So I literally had to, I'm literally off in a corner somewhere trying to memorize the lyrics on my phone, going over it. And then I get called upstage in front of all these people and I got to sing it. I don't know any of the words. It was like really embarrassing. And then at one of the summer kickoff parties at DJ's, he says, all right, we'll do a song. This time we'll actually do a Beatles song. Fine, great. And I do Come Together with the band. I thought I did it okay. It was good. And then all of a sudden, Craig jumps on the drums and they start playing Hard to Handle and they want me to sing again. I'm like, again, in the last year and a half, I haven't tried to memorize these lyrics. I thought I was done with this. And then they didn't even give me the time to, like, at least before the Reds performance, I was off in the corner on my phone trying to memorize it. They just, oh, I thought I was done. I put the mic down. I sang my song. No. Here comes Hard to Handle again. I did it even worse that time. And that song, every time it comes on the radio now or on, you know, I have to turn it off. I can't. Bothers the hell out of me. All right, you did Come Together. Great. Oh, yeah. Big Mac, everyone. Woo! All right, now Hard. Da-na-na-na-na. I'm like, no. No. I wanted to just walk away doing the one song. And then he made me sing in front of Fall Out Boy. That was the toughest one. Son of a. I'm going to try and make it to the stadium one of these three games against Texas. Say hello to Craig. I haven't seen him. I've talked to him a few times. I haven't seen him.
I saw he went to the game that wasn't played.
Yeah, is that the one he went to? Yeah. Instagram. Yeah, I saw. Hopefully they play Friday. I'm going to try and make it over there. We'll see. But let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Jeremy in Brooklyn. What's up, Jeremy?
Yo, what's going on, Big Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
You're awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Jeremy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I did, but you said a bad word, so try and work on that. No bad words, but thank you very much. I get it.
Excuse me.
That's okay. I put up a lot of his stuff, no doubt. It was fun, though.
Yeah, I heard it for a long time. You made your way through it. Now you got the overnights all by yourself, and you've been crushing it.
Well, thank you.
I fall asleep to you every night. And I just want to hear, what do you think is going to be our actual lineup come playoff time? Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We're finally hitting our stride. Like, where do you think we're going to end up come playoff time? Like, what are we looking at?
I'm assuming you mean the Yankees.
Of course.
When you say
man,
wait, Yankees. Yeah, I know. Let me see. I know Boone talked about today the idea of at least entertaining swapping Judge and Soto, although he says he probably won't do it as of yet. The only question mark I have, like, because right now I feel pretty good, especially against right-handed pitching. Left-handed pitching, maybe it'd be different, but I don't think so. I feel pretty good about 2-3-4 being Soto, Judge, and now Wells. I don't think they're going to mess with that. Maybe they flip-flop Judge and Soto at some point, but if you ask me right now, that's 2-3-4.
No,
Stanton, 5. I don't know who's going to hit leadoff. The only real question I have is, does Jason Dominguez have a role to play in this thing? That's the only question I have.
That's what I was going to ask.
That's like, the only question I have.
Dominguez, Verdugo, where are they going to go?
Like, I honestly, and thank you for the call and thank you for the kind words, Jeremy. I honestly don't know. Right now, my guess would be that they wouldn't give him the playoff start, but he's going to come up in September. If he kills it, they're going to have to. And right now, another question mark is DJ LeMahieu. Like, if you think about it, we thought the infield was this massive problem, and it was. And I'm still not ready to just say it's completely fixed. We've seen Jazz Chisholm strike out a bunch. You know, Gleyber Torres has been hitting fairly well, and he almost hit a home run yesterday a couple of times. He's been better. And quite honestly, DJ now with another two-hit performance and just swinging the bat so much better. His at-bats look so much better. And take into account that Oswaldo Cabrera, I mean, he hits another home run. He's looked good too. And you got John Birdie coming back. The infield, all of a sudden, after being a barren wasteland, and who knows when Rizzo's coming back, you just take for granted Rice. But, I mean, they might have to throw LeMahieu at first base. Because LeMahieu is starting to come around. Like, those two at bat, he was hitting the ball hard the other way. Like, I'm liking what I'm seeing from DJ LeMahieu, and that's the kind of guy they need. I mean, a legitimate 300 hitter would be huge on this team. So he might have to play first. I like what I've seen from Oswaldo Cabrera. They just traded for Jazz Chisholm, and while he slumped here at Yankee Stadium, he was a huge factor in this turnaround on the road in Fenway and Philly. And you know, John Birdie's coming back, who's the guy they traded for. He's been a 300 hitter for the Marlins. So, like, what seemed like a barren wasteland has suddenly kind of become jumbled up. And it's going to not be as easy as you think. And Rizzo coming back, as well as Ben Rice. So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks right now about what the ultimate roster will be and what the ultimate lineup will be come playoff time. It's not an easy question to answer, other than Judge, Soto, and Wells, and then Stanton at DH. Other than that, I don't know. I'm assuming Jazz Chisholm's your third baseman, and I'm assuming Gleyber Torres is your second baseman. But that's subject to change. And I'm assuming Verdugo is your left fielder. But if they call up Jason Dominguez in September and he absolutely kills it, I don't know. I don't know. Could they platoon him and against left-handed pitching, Dominguez is your, because he's a switch hitter, Dominguez is your right fielder? I don't know. It's not an easy question. Richard in Hampton Bays. What's up, Rich?
Okay. Hi. Yes, I have a question I want to ask. I want to talk about Pete Alfonso and Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, okay, I see Judge in mind that he's getting, like, there's been times, that, like, lately they've been working him intentionally. He's a 300-plus hitter, right?
Yeah, see, oh, he's hitting well. He's hitting well over 300, yeah.
Well, over 300, that's... And the thing is, I tell him, where is Pete Alfonso? He's entitled to the money that Judge is, the kind of money that Judge is getting. He's hitting 240.
Yeah. You mean, you took Pete Alonso?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He stinks.
No, Pete Alonso, I don't think Pete Alonso thinks he's entitled to the money that Aaron Judge makes. I mean, Aaron Judge makes 360. I don't think in Pete's wildest dreams was he expecting that, but he was expecting maybe 220, and I don't think he's going to get there now.
Let's face it. He strikes out too much. He doesn't make enough contact. Like, right now, I'm a Mets fan. I think there's a lot of times that, every time he strikes, when they need him to come through, it's a lot of times he hasn't come through for them. He hits one home run and then strikes out 10 times afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case this year. He struggled with runners in scoring position this year. He hasn't been clutch at all this year. Late and close, he struggled. High leverage, he struggled. No doubt. I've talked about it. I've been very disappointed in Pete. I think it's been a miserable year, far more than obviously he thinks, as he defended his season. And even more than some people will tell you, I think it's been a really disappointing year for a team that up and down offensively has been great. Like I said it the other day, me and Fliegelman were talking about it. Like, if you want to talk about indispensable offensive players for this Met team that you would be, you know, devastated if you lost to injury or something, how far down the list does Pete Alonso get? Like, right now, it just feels that way. I know it's not fair necessarily. His career has been great. And the biggest stars on this team might be Lindor and Alonso, but I don't know. Right now, it feels like there's a bunch of guys who have I can point to everyone on that in that lineup and say, I remember a time period, whether it be a week, a game, or whatever, where he carried the team. He had the big hit. I could point to, obviously, Lindor. I can point to Nimmo, obviously. You can point to Vientos. You can point to Iglesias. You can point to Taylor. You can point to Bader. You can point to everyone in this lineup. Who am I forgetting? Like, literally, McNeil since the All-Star break. Like, I can literally point to everyone and say, oh, I remember when he won that game. I remember when he had that stretch. I remember when he carried us for 2 weeks. I remember when he went absolutely nuts for a week. Like, everybody, I remember all the clutch hits of Bader. I remember, you know, and I point to Alonso and I go, I don't remember anything. That's just the way it's been. And he's going to cost himself a lot of money, but he's not in there. I don't think anybody, even prior to this year, I know me and Loogie got into an argument about the prowess of his home run hitter and being a slugger on the par of Aaron Judge, which that's even ridiculous. He's not the slugger Aaron Judge is, let alone just the all-around offensive player. Aaron Judge right now is leading the league in home runs, RBIs, walks, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus, total bases, and just to throw it on top, intentional walks. He is currently hitting .322. He is an offensive monster. That's a year that Pete Alonso, or really anyone else in baseball, can achieve, other than maybe Otani. We're watching greatness. He is on another level. But yeah, so I mean, but just to take it more, the comparison between Judge and Pete Alonso isn't worth having a conversation about. It's one, it's pointless. Two, it's not, Judge is in a different class. And more specifically to Pete Alonso and his struggles with the Mets or have nothing to do with Aaron Judge. Pete Alonso, who has typically been a clutch player for the Mets, has not been this year. Plain and simple. And his comments yesterday, like, I saw BT's thing and BT's defense of him, and I get it. And I said the comments were selfish. And I know he said he saw people calling him selfish or whatever. And maybe he meant me. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I probably wasn't the only one. I don't think Pete Alonso is selfish. Those comments were selfish. Pete Alonso found himself where he was talking as Pete Alonso, the free agent, instead of Pete Alonso, the Met. That's just it. That's all. It was one moment. I'm not going to kill the guy necessarily for it. I'll forgive it. Go have a good rest of the way because they need him to. That's my concern. My concern is that made it painfully obvious. The minute he was critiqued, he went and defended his value, gave you his numbers, gave you his home run prowess, which isn't actually accurate, and then gave, or at least for this season, and then gave you his, he's an all-star. He was, it was almost as if he was in the middle of a arbitration hearing. That's what he sounded like. Instead of just saying, yeah, I got to be better. He was in an arbitration hearing trying to give you his value. That was a free agent talking about the offseason and trying to establish that he's still having a good year because he wants to have a contract. And that tells me the contract is on his mind. And that tells me that's what's weighing on him and maybe being a big part of this down season. And that's what scares me because that's not going anywhere. That's going to be here through the rest of the year. And somehow he's got to find a way to put that out of his mind and have a good rest of the year because they need it. This offense couldn't get anything going against one of the worst bullpens in baseball for 7 innings. And 2 innings or 3 innings before that and the night before. Like, he's got to, like, you can't expect all of those guys to continue to be the driving force. You can't expect Vientos, who's cooled off, went 0-4 last night, to constantly be great. You can't expect Lindor, who did come through with the big hit last night, but has cooled off a little bit. He can't be the best hitter in baseball, you know, or one of the best hitters in baseball all season. Nimmo's cooled off. Like, Iglesias has cooled off, even though he had two hits last night. Like, you can't expect that offense at some point. As I've listed all the different guys who've helped them and carried them and had big weeks and had big games, at some point, it's Pete Alonso's turn. And what scares me about those comments isn't necessarily to kill him or call him delusional or anything else. It's to say, wow, that tells me this is on his mind. The first thing he brings up when asked, hey, what's up with the struggles? It's immediately, hey, look at this. Look what I've done here. Look what I've done there. Look what I've done there. I still deserve money. That's what it felt like. That's his first response. That means it's weighing on him. It's on his mind. The comments were selfish. He's not selfish necessarily. He's never shown another instance like it. And you're allowed one bad moment. No one's saying, you know, it's terrible or it's a bad answer. Like, you know, sometimes when it gets put on the social media comments, it seems like I'm killing him. I'm not trying to kill him. I thought it was a terrible answer. I thought it was a selfish answer. He's not a selfish player. That's a selfish moment. It happens. We're all selfish at times. But the biggest takeaway is that's first and foremost, forefront on his mind is to defend himself and give you his value. And that concerns me moving forward, because if this is about trying to prove his value, every day that gets lesser and less easy to do, and he has to start doing it now, and the pressing continues. And he can tell himself, hey, if I play in the playoffs or I come through, I could wipe away the rest of the year. But then what is the pressure on the playoffs? Like, the idea of the contract weighing on his mind doesn't help him. And I thought it was just a slump year. That comment proves to me that the contract is weighing on him, and it's more of a factor than maybe even we thought. Even if some of us took a lot of stock into that, clearly it's weighing on him. 4:46, McMonagle here with you. You know what happens next. Rapid fire style as we take you the last few minutes until the warm-up show at 5. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Fights at camps are crazy. I just saw the DK Metcalf swinging a helmet at his own teammate. This wasn't even a dual practice. It feels like this year the fights have been out of control. The Jets were fighting the other day. Obviously the Giants and the Lions. I know fights happen every camp and every dual practice particularly, but it just feels like this year is crazy. I don't know. Yeah, it's not, you look like you're going to say something.
No, they want to hit some people, but no, the swinging the helmet isn't. What was that? Who did it to Mason
Garrett,
Rudolph?
Miles Garrett. That was crazy. Remember that whole thing? That was one of the. I was calling him Mason Randolph the entire open of the show. I'll never forget that one. Bigger mistakes I made. I was on that after that night, and I think I called him Randolph like two or three times. And I remember feeling like someone corrected on me, and I went back and listened. I said, did I say Randolph? I forget who was behind the board, but it was like, I don't know. Like, did I say Randolph? Those are the things that bother you. And one time, since we're, you know.
Well, you hate all, just anything me and, Rudolph, huh?
Yeah. What? I hate all Rudolph. Why would I hate Rudolph?
Well, you hate the song Rudolph the Red Nosed
Reindeer. Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Well, I don't hate it. I just think there's a, you know, the opening of the song makes no sense to me. You know all the other ones, but do you remember the most famous? Like, well, if you assume I know Blitzen, you should assume I know Rudolph, excuse me. It just makes no sense to me. The opening of the song. Like, you take it for granted that I know Blitzen, but then do I know the most famous? Well, I mean, if I'm that on top of all the reindeer, of course I know the most famous one.
I'm just proud that I was able to, I knew I'd
yes,
be with that one.
But it's true. It's true. But no, all the other, like all the mistakes you make along that weigh on you. I remember once, and now that I do the show all the time, especially on No Sleep, it happens to me every once in a while. But the first time it really happened to me was in an open, I forget what I was talking about. I think it was when Antonio Brown was with the Patriots or wanted out of the Raiders. It was something about Antonio Brown. And I was talking about Antonio Brown, and I said the two things about Antonio, I said the two things about the situation, or the two things about Antonio Brown is one is blah, 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 blah. And for the life of me, I could not remember two. I don't know, I guess I didn't write it down or whatever, but I was in the middle of this open, relatively new to, you know, I'm doing one show a week. I'm relatively new to doing it twice, you know, once a week, whatever. And I just was like, the two things, one, blah, 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 blah. And two, and I didn't know, I just completely froze. And I just started rehashing number one. I didn't know what to do. I just went deeper into number one and then just went to break. I was like, I completely lost my train of thought.
My first show that I hosted, I called the World Series the Super Bowl. But ultimately, that calmed me down because I was so, I wasn't nervous
at all.
What's
the worst thing that could happen? It just happened and now.
Right, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, that happened. My mistake. Right. Move on.
Yep. That happens all the time, no doubt about it. But with the couple of things, but I remember calling him Randolph instead of Rudolph like two or three times in the open, kicking myself all night. And yet I still got the job. You're right. So things happen. But I mean, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, but where they allow things like this to happen. Howard in Forest Hills. What's up, Howard?
Hi. For karaoke, the song you should always sing is Louie Louie, because no one understands the lyrics anyway.
That's
true. It
doesn't
matter what you say, right?
That's not bad. You can just kind of go, Louie Louie.
No one's going to correct you.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? That reminds me of, and I talk, and thank you so much. That's a funny point. Yeah. No one's going to, and it wasn't so much correcting me. It's just that I sounded like I turned that song into Louie Louie because I was like, I don't know what the lyrics are. But for whatever reason, Louie Louie reminds me of one of the more underrated movies that nobody knows that is hysterical, one of the great comedies. Like, honestly, like one of my favorite comedies. It's very underrated. Nobody knows about it. And I talk movies every once in a while. If you can go, if you're in the mood for a movie, a comedy, which there aren't many anymore. Like I talked about Biggs, Jason Biggs wanted to make another American Pie. Like, I feel like really funny R-rated comedies don't exist anymore. And I guess, you know, Jerry Seinfeld has an opinion on why. I don't know. But there's a movie with Kelsey Grammer, where he plays a submarine commander, and the movie is called Down Periscope. It is hilarious. It is laugh out loud funny. I love Down Periscope with Frasier. With Kelsey Grammer. It is so, so good. And not many people know about it. Very, very funny. And it reminds me of Louie Louie because they're playing these war games. He's in the U.S. Navy. And they're trying to figure out if this type of submarine is good enough to, you know, do whatever. I don't know. So they're playing these war games where he has to try and hide from the fleet of American submarines. And they pick him up on the radar. And the submarine is coming. And it's like an old-fashioned submarine. It was like to see if this old-fashioned submarine, because they suspect that the Russian, someone has taken this old-fashioned submarine, and they're trying to figure out if this old-fashioned submarine would be able to get through there. So they're having these war games with it. And so it's like an old-fashioned submarine. So he just goes to the top of the surface, puts lights, goes up and like literally duct tapes lights on it, and then just starts singing Louie Louie and pretends to be a drunk fishing boat, like with a bunch of drunk fishermen on it as the submarine comes and it's just... I don't know why that reminded me of it, but every time I hear Louie Louie, I think of Kelsey Grammer and his entire crew pretending to be drunk fishermen on a submarine singing that song. Very fun. It was a funny movie. Very, very good. Who? Rob, the Adam Sandler guy, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider's in it. A couple people in it. Down Periscope. Go check it out. Very funny. That's it. You got sports. You got laundry. You got... Red planets, dwarf stars, red dwarf, white dwarf. Eddie gave me a whole list and tutorial on it. I don't remember. I think it's a star, not a planet. When a star somebody dies, it becomes a red dwarf.
Yeah.
So you got a lot. Plus, you got a movie recommendation. So check it out. All right. That's it for me for right now. I'll catch you at 2 o'clock. Me and Loogie filling in for Evan and Tiki. So I'm looking forward to that. Probably a lot of Giants knowing, you know, how crazy he is leading into the Giant game. But I'll see you then. Thank you, Rami. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. I'll see you at 2 p.m. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. W.